League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Unbox. But before we get into the episode, I want to talk about our brilliant new sponsor, Comey. I first discovered Comey on Jamie Lang, Idris Elba, and Addison Rae's socials. So I quickly asked the team to get in touch because what they are doing is truly groundbreaking. What's apparent about Comey is that they truly believe in the creator space, and they are very passionate about helping creators to maximize their results online. Comey empowers creators, musicians, and athletes to create their own personalized landing page, acting as their link in bio, allowing all of their content to be in one centralized location. Comey provides an incredibly easy-to-use drag-and-drop tool, which allows you to create your own personalized hub in 5 minutes. Check out unbox.comey.io for an example, or Gwen Stefani's, or Idris Elba's, or any other of your favorite celebrities, because they have everyone right now. It allows you to share with your followers the things that they may not have seen. For example, if you're posting a YouTube video, they may not have seen your book, or your live tour, or your merch. Now it's all in one central location. Comey is the link in bio 2.0, and I'm so excited for you to check it out. Later on in the series, you'll hear from two of the co-founders, Lewis and Ben, who have onboarded over 1 billion followers in under a year. That is truly staggering. Comey is a platform that I couldn't recommend highly enough. So if you want to up your link in bio game this year, head to comey.io for more. That is K-O-M-I.io.
Listen.
This week, I'm joined by Poet. Poet is a passionate guy. He has a high energy level that he brings to everything he creates. He started his journey quite simply by creating funny YouTube videos about things that were going on in his area and doing social commentary. But since that first video upload, he has constantly evolved and adapted to create new opportunities within the space for himself. He's worked across football content, created music videos, hosted podcasts, and so much more. And he has always pushed the boundaries of where he sits within this space. One thing I love about Poet is that he truly brings himself into his work. He presents himself in such an authentic way, and you can tell that this is a massive priority for him. Recently, Poet has had success building channels such as Filthy Fellas, a weekly football show on YouTube, creating content with both Halfcast Podcast and Gasworks, and his music pursuits with Vibba. On this episode, we get into Poet's journey and what impact showing up in such an authentic way has had on his career. Let's get into it. Poet, it's a pleasure to see you again, my friend. Thank how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good. Well, thank you so much for coming on Unboxed. So first and foremost, yeah, how would you describe what you do and the type of content that you create?
I have no clue. But, because this is the tricky thing about the situation. Before it was labelled, before it was an industry, before there was an infrastructure, it was just a bag of people filming videos. And I've got videos I can show you right now. When I was 10 years old, I was telling your colleague where I was making like television adverts for fun and so on and so forth. So when something is innate in your life and it's just part of your everyday practice, you don't label it because it's just part of your everyday practice. Unless it has an infrastructure or something already, then you're walking into something. I was walking into nothing. I was just doing something which became something that everybody does now, I guess. So I just have a laugh, mate. I have a laugh, I express myself creatively, and we try to make content. I was saying to your friend, maybe I'm just a creator, I guess, in some capacity, but to label it is very confusing.
Isn't it? It's funny that, because I think we, you know, even we're labeling it, right, in this whole thing, because it kind of helps to have a label, I guess, for people to know what they're looking at. But at the same time, you're right, especially someone like yourself, you've just been yourself for this whole time.
And on top of that, it's like, now, for example, this is amazing. There's loads of people behind the camera. There's loads of people here to film or to help you film. And I imagine that there was a call sheet and all of these different things which go into creating this opportunity today. Because when I'm coming up, it's just phone you, brother. Let's meet up here. You're just going to try a thing. There's not this sort of
infrastructure.
There's no attention to it. It's like, you have to do everything, bruv. You are the CEO of your company, you're the cleaner, you open up, you close, you employ people, you have job interviews, you do everything yourself. So I don't know what to label that. Maybe a madman, but yeah, that's what you gotta do.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but I guess that's the thing. It's like, being a creator is, as you're saying, it's 20 jobs. I always think about that as well, right? How little people understand the depths that people like yourself have to go to in order to learn all the skills. And as you say, maybe because it's innate, it's a little bit easier because you've been doing it for so long. There's a whole slate of things that need to go into this, right? Where do you get your ideas from, and how do you keep those evolving in time?
So I get my ideas from my friends and staying a lot of in my, like, just doing advanced things that you would do within the world that I'm from. And boredom. I get a lot of ideas from boredom. And my mom. My mom's lit. She would just tell me stuff that I used to do when I was younger. I'd be like, oh my God, what
taking
does that,
that?
Look like now? Yeah, my mom's super lit. She's amazing, man.
What's your mom's name?
Angela Stewart. She's a great person, man. I love her. So, and her motivation as well. And like, just the way she talks to me and the way she rates me, cause it just makes me feel so special. So I'm like, I can think of something. Like, she proper motivates me to do stuff. No matter what is happening, she always believes in me. And I just don't even know why. Sometimes I'm like, you're a really good person, mom. I'm all right. Don't know why you believe in me so much, but God bless you. So, yeah, those are my motivational factors for thinking of stuff. When I first started doing music, off the back of me not being able to do it because I wanted to do it with my friends, I just started doing something called Poets Corner. And it was just me doing social commentary on the ends. Mm. So I would ridicule guys that are grown walking around with bandanas. I would ridicule loads of stuff. One of the first things we'd done was my god sister, God bless her, man, I won't say her name, but there was a group that went around on Facebook in 2010 called Facebook Hoes. And they just literally had loads of girls.
I remember those days.
Do you remember?
That was a time.
My god sister hit me up. She was crying. She was upset. I was like, damn it, what can we do? So I decided to make a piece of content playing everything down. Just playing it or just making it all seem stupid so people could laugh at it. So even the people that are involved would just all laugh at it so it wouldn't have the value. I wanted to take that value away from it.
Yeah.
That was my main goal, and to have a laugh as well. So we just made this video and I placed it on like, everyone, wherever they put the list on Facebook, I would put the video. So that was the way we marketed it. And then like within 2 weeks, I think it was 30 to 50K. And I remember going, raw, well, that wasn't really, I didn't think that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And, but then that became a thing. Everyone just started doing social commentary stuff. So I left it, started making a music show. Everyone started making a music show. I left that, done football.
Yeah.
Everyone started doing football.
Yeah.
I left that, made a podcast. Here we are. Everyone started making podcasts. Yeah. I left that.
Yeah.
Done Gasworks. And someone else tried to make it, but it didn't work. So I'm going to chill there for a little bit longer until I figure out the next big move. And then with Vibar, we got a creative collective. That's a way place to make music or do art conventions.
Sure.
So, yeah, man.
Can you take us back to how you started? Like, what was, I know you said when you were younger and you were making videos, but when it kind of became a career for yourself, what was that turning point at the start?
I'm still struggling to figure out if it's a career now, Giza. But I can tell you the first thing that we'd done, which was, I guess my mum took serious, was, so everyone knows, like, the 2003, 2004 era, grime was huge. It was, like, probably the biggest thing within our culture, which was almost separate. So older generation had no clue what was going on, but we had our own world. So throughout that, I used to go Axe FM. I used to go radio quite consistently all the time, Heat FM, pay a little £10 subs, and hopefully you get to spit on the mic. And then we made a video of one of the songs that we sort of created through going to radio. I think in 2008, we shot a video of a guy called Sessan, who's gone on to do really, really big things now. And my cousin Scribbs. And that was the first thing we'd done. And I was doing youth work at the time. So I'm doing youth work in Wood Green, working as a youth worker on a Positive Futures Spurs project. I'd go do that every single day. And then you release this video. And obviously loads of young people are coming there because we had a massive engaged group of like maybe 100 young people. So a big responsibility. And then I made this video because I didn't like the job too tough. And then all of a sudden, loads of people are coming now because I'm Poet, and it's just weird. Really, really weird. So I'll say like 08, 09 is when you started realizing, and my mum definitely realized, I got chased in Wood Green by like 10 people. I don't want to
get chased. Don't get chased in Wood Green, dude.
Nah, because you instantly start thinking, Jesus,
yeah.
Am I really seeing past tomorrow? But that's then it was just all love, and it was just a very confusing concept for my mum, for me. So I would say 08, 09, when we made a music video called Never Gonna Blow with Scribbs, that's when I started realizing that there is something within this. There is, you know, an opportunity.
And where did you go from there?
So off the back of that, we really tried to take music seriously. A guy called Colin Batstar, who does incredible things right now.
He's EGA?
Yeah, massive EGA now. So at the time when I met him, he was just working on similar projects to me, like youth projects within Walthamstow. And I'm in Wood Green walking. He gives me his card and he goes, I'm Colin Batstar. And I find out he gets his manager. He's looking after Devlin at the time. That was massive as well. So then he says to me, yeah, I want to work with you and Scribbs. But the thing was, the song that we made came out of a group. Everyone had a group. Nasty Crew. It was loads of people in Nasty Crew. Getz, Kano, Jammer might have been in it. You Look A Boy Better Know Now. There was just tons and tons of crews. Movement were a crew. So we had a crew. And I tried to explain to Colin that I have to bring everyone. Like, I understand that you're in love with the Never Gonna Blow song of me and my cousin, but there's like Smiler and there's Bolt and we come as a four. And he tried to always give us a different proposition of, and obviously he was doing his job business and he was like trying to say, no, these, you two are going to sell. But in my mind, I'm from a council estate, bro. Like, I'm from an estate where there's bag of us and we've always been like a family, a really dysfunctional family. And we've got to stick together because I understand me and my cousin can go forward and we can make the money. But then like, if that means that we miss out on the opportunities to bring our friends and all that stuff, then what's it all for? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be like the leader of the pack. I want us to all be leaders. So, I just kept resisting that. And then eventually he just said he couldn't work with us anymore because he just wanted the two. But I was like, well, if you're not going to get the
package deal, yeah.
It's long, innit?
I mean, how important is relationships to you throughout this whole career that you've had over the last 10 years? Because that's, I think, another thread that seems to be coming through.
Relationships are very, very important, but it depends. Relationships tie in with your intent and what you're here to do. So some people are here to make money. So the relationships they want are of individuals within this that have huge amounts of money or money opportunities in order for them to progress. And I respect that. My G, I'm not from no money. All my friends are not from money. All we have is each other. So the moment that we go and prioritize money, something we've never had, but we've always had each other, and I prioritize something I've never experienced, who the hell am I? So my intent has to be, I have to help my friends, and whatever experience we go into it together, we learn it together. It's easy when you learn things together as a group of people. You can turn left and right and speak to people. When you're learning things by yourself, you're going to learn from someone who doesn't know your journey, doesn't know anything about you, is in love with one part of you. And then they're just going to keep trying to nurture that one part of you and neglect all the other parts of you. But your friends won't do that because your friends will bring out other sides in you that other people can't. So I said, no, we have to work as a unit, like a family together. And yeah, that's all I was on, man. That's all I'm on.
Most, I think, from what you're saying, right, your kind of personal happiness and your sense of self is also tied to bringing people with you and making sure you're doing it as a group and as a collective and as a family, right? Rather than going at it alone. I think for many people in this space, right, that there's a, you know, when you start going to management companies and you start working with TV production companies and you're in labels, and there is that sort of top-down view that, no, you become almost a commodity
to an
extent. How do you find the institutional side of this business? Because obviously you've worked with a number of institutions and platforms and places, because obviously it is in some ways at odds with the, as you say, in that kind of that realness which you've come from. It's such a different world. So how have you dealt with that through the years?
People treat individuals like myself, like the JMEs, the Skeptics, like we're Big Ben, like we're the Houses of Parliament. Like you go there, you take a picture of it, and it's very weird. It doesn't make sense. There's a little amount of respect for the human, but there's a little bit of respect for the talent in which they display. And if you're not displaying that, we don't care. That's the attitude why industries and creatives have a massive problem. And I think that's the reasons why creatives have a massive problem just trying to give their product to the world, because the complications in doing it are just mad, because people just view it and they say that they just feel like they can tell you what to do. They feel like they can just dictate the direction of your brand, and we're people. Do you know what I'm saying? So it has a huge impact on you. And sometimes I think that's how brands get messed up.
From so many conversations I've had with people through the years, it's like when you miss out, and I think it's easy for management companies and for labels and for production companies, wherever it might be, to sometimes disconnect from the human that's there. And I think something which is so important for people when they are coming through, I guess, as talent, but also behind the scenes, is to remember that people are people and they're not to be rinsed and they're not to be, you know, abused ultimately. What would be your advice to younger people coming through in any space in the creative economy or the creator economy? What would be your advice to them to sort of stand up for themselves and to avoid that?
When you're in front of the camera, you have to understand, You're never off work. You could walk to the sweet shop and someone takes out their phone. You're never off work. So you have to be mentally strong. You have to surround yourself with people that genuinely love you. And yeah, I think you'll be fine after that. Whatever you are meant to achieve, you will achieve out of that. But if you get really gassed by all of this and you start believing that this guy following you is actually your friend, and you start believing, oh my God, I met this guy, he's really cool. The moment you get wrapped up into that, I think you're going to crash, mate.
I want to move into a couple of case studies in your time, right? One being Time at Copper, which obviously a long time ago. Like, what is the story of you and Vooj, and obviously the partnership and everything that you guys did there? Because I think for me, looking back at that time, it was so pioneering in the space, and so many people now are sort of have taken the formats and inspiration from what you guys did, and you really blazed the trail online. So I'd love to know a little bit about that, your experience and some of the learnings from that time. And then we jump to now.
Yeah, Copper was interesting, man. So like 2011, 2012, I just made a series of content prior, and I just felt like one thing we didn't have was a soccer AM for like our scene. We had loads of things in our scene, but we didn't have people acting like they didn't talk about football. And me, Mitch, we're in Nando's, and we had a choice of going to a party or going back to my house, change the whole house into this studio that we were going to create for a month for the Euros in 2012. And we decided to go back home and not go to the party, which was super lit, by the way. It was so lit. And then we went back and then, yeah, I just remember taking loads of newspapers, putting them all over my wall and creating a set for us to do this show called, we called it Kebabs, Lads and Shinpads. So I then, they were like, where should we put it? I said, let's not make a YouTube channel. Like, this is a quick project. We need to figure out a way where we can quickly put it in people's eyes. So I spoke to the people at Grime Daily, shout out Pierre and Posty at the time. And they allowed me to put it on Grime Daily. So it was like a football show on Grime Daily. I was like, there is no competition. We're cool. We had Maya Jammer on there very early. We had Tasha, who works at, I don't know what label she works at right now. We had Femme Fell coming in. We had that really good guy, Niall Ranger. I'm joking now. I really enjoyed it for the month in which it happened. Little did I know, Google were giving loads of production companies money to start channels for whatever interest that they wanted to do, whether it was entertainment, football, or music, or cooking, all of these different types of things. So they were Google Originals channels. Big Balls was a production company located in the Farringdon area, which applied to get money to make a football channel. They got it. They were called Copa 90. And then they reached out to me off the back of the channel, off the back of the show. They reached out to Grime Daily and said, yo, we want to take that show and put it on Copa. After many negotiations, it came down to, we just want Poet. So I was like, oh, that's kind of lit. I felt kind of bad because I was leaving all my friends behind, and I was like, oh, sugar. So I was like to them, don't worry, I'm gonna come back and get you lot on some mad thing. Like, just let me do some work here. And because I kind of learned from the Colin Batson situation that maybe I have to go establish something, come back and bring people. So I was like, I'm going to do it. So I went and got David Vianich. And I said, David, and he was at university at the time. And I said to him, look, bro, there's a screening for this channel. I don't know what it's about. I don't know if it's going to work. But I just know they want to talk about football, and me and you talk about football. You want to do it? He's like, all right, cool. Went down there, we got it. They said that, yeah, we love you. They were like, oh, we're trying to get in contact with David Vianich for time as well. And I was like, all right, cool. So for the first, I would say, yeah, my life changed, mate. I'm talking about £7 in my account. I've got no money. I've got nothing. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing like 4 hours a month and getting like £900. Now, in my head, that just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me, mum. Like, I'm literally doing 4 hours a month and getting paid £900. It was unreal to me. So, so unreal. I used to pray every night thanking God. I swear to God, I was like, thank you so much, bro. Because I believed it could happen. I realized, unintentionally, I was pissing people off. And then things just start going wrong, bro. Things just start going mad wrong. And then by 2019, yeah, they released a statement telling me they're firing me. So I end up doing this video, and then another company that felt offended by what Copa 90 done exposes Copa 90. Not me. Copa 90. I happen to be a part of that. So I'm one of a number of people being exposed. A year prior, a similar thing happened to David Vianich. On Twitter, they brought up past tweets, so on and so forth. Copa 90 completely supported him. Completely supported him. He was allowed, I think he was off the channel for about a week, 2 weeks. Completely supported him. But I'm not perfect, bro. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect. Copa 90 were fantastic when they were fantastic. But when it went bad, it went bad. When they more or less kicked me to the curb, I couldn't believe what was happening, Giza. Because I can tell you one thing, to the core within this job, I'm a loyal guy, bro. So I just said, you know what, Vuj? Let's just get on our grind. Let's do this ourselves. Like, we can do this. We can 100% do this. You don't need anything else other than good structure, good relationships, love, and most importantly, you need to be good at your job.
I mean, one thought I did actually have on that, I think everything you've said there is obviously really, it's quite powerful, and actually, yeah, it's a testament to how institutions, as we were saying about institutions, when they're great, but actually when, you know, as I think you probably felt at that time somewhat like dependent on them, right? That was your primary source of income, as you were saying, that was, there was like fear in that moment. And then for them to do that, that must have really hurt. And that's, I think, a challenge which a lot of people, when they're coming through, especially when, and this is the thing as well for me, right? Especially when there's really somebody like you, you are 100% yourself and you're human at the core, and you, that spirit comes into everything you do. And one of the things I was also looking to ask was like, how do you find like presenting yourself when you're so you all the time? And as you're saying, you in 2011, you in 2014, you now, you're a different person through the years, but the world often is, doesn't look at the human, as we're saying, it looks at the brand and it expects things which of somebody now, which, you know, wasn't the person at the time and all these different things. How do you find like being consistently you? And also when it comes to the council culture, like does being 100% you almost become a bit of a guard against that? Because actually you have a fearlessness to be like, you know what? Like, for example, with those tweets, I said what I said, I'm a different man now, but because I'm in control of my future and in control of my brand, I don't actually need that validation anymore. I'm going to be myself and I'm going to own that. And as you said, you got support in the process. So what's your view on that, do you think?
It's crazy because I remember people saying, oh, but Paul, you got cancelled. I'm like, no, when something gets cancelled, it doesn't usually come back. And then I said to them, I don't say this like arrogantly, so I don't want to come across as a snob or anything, but that situation couldn't cancel me. And I said it to Copa 90, you can't cancel me because I'm from a whole nother culture. My big support is from a whole nother culture. It's not from commercial culture. In commercial culture, can you get rid of me? 100%, but I don't live and exist there. Like, I just visit.
That's what I mean. Yeah, there's a safeguard around that because you're you in your own world.
100%. I have to have my own world because within my own world, I'm understood. And that's what's so important to me. They understand what I'm saying because they understand the lifestyle I've had and so on and so forth. There's more information for them. And they know I'm of no danger. Whereas when you do certain things within commercial culture within England, it's like they're just waiting for you to do something wrong. They just sit there and then it's like, nah. We're just waiting for him to do one thing. Like, they expect perfection. And I'm just like, and I consistently let people know I'm a flawed human being. I'm comfortable being a flawed human being. I'm on a journey. And eventually I will reach what I think is a good version of perfection. But throughout the journey within doing this, for anyone to expect perfection, I think the problem lies with you, not with me. I've already accepted I'm flawed.
You know, it's also interesting. I think there's two things that you've said throughout this whole sort of conversation which stuck. One was that, you know, when you're on the front end of this, right? So you being in front of the camera, you get the brunt of the criticism, of the scrutiny. Everyone who's in front of the camera gets that, right? Whereas people in boardrooms and people behind the scenes, you don't get that. Mm-mm. So there is this thing of like, we want you for your realness and your humor and your spirit and everything that makes you so authentically you. But then when that doesn't sort of tick all of our boxes, and when that comes with flaws, which all of us have, although someone like yourself is more exposed to those flaws than people behind the scenes, then as you're saying, you're going to get the gauntlet and there's scrutiny and there's like, you know, they're waiting to almost, as you say, waiting for you to fall. Like, how do you feel about that? Because it's almost like, for me, it's kind of frustrating to see like this desire for these companies to want the, like, you as a human, but then humans come with flaws, and when they're when those come through, then it's like you're to the curb, you know.
I'm more upset with myself than with anyone else. I have to understand that this is not just for me. This can happen to anybody. So you have to prepare yourself better. I didn't prepare myself adequately. I put trust in situations I never should have put trust in. It's my fault. I have to take the blame for it. The moment I start pointing at other people, I don't know how I'm going to ever find the ability to, you know what I'm saying, get through that situation, because it may happen again. So the first person you got to look at is yourself. You know, I made mistakes and I want to not make the mistakes again and move forward and be cool. The place you live and exist in, like, that's the best place for you, bro. The best place for you, because the moment you come into commercial culture, I have nothing in common with Sharon from Norwich. Absolutely nothing in common with Sharon from Norwich. I don't. She's probably from a nice middle-class home, has a garden. Because I just got a garden 5 years ago, bro. Keep this real. I was living in a two-bedroom flat with six people. There is no way you're going to understand my journey. But I respect your differences. And I understand enough to know that I wouldn't want to present my art in your face. If you come across it, by all means. But I wouldn't want to put it in your face, because I feel like you would question it so much you would end up insulting it, and it's because it's not for you. It's like when your mum goes, what's that mess you're playing downstairs, and it's grime. You're like, mum, you're too old. That's too fast for you. You move slow now. Go and play Barry White. Like, that's what I say to my mum. Do you know where I'm coming from? And it's just that sort of respect of differences that I think is why I say, I'm cool, man. I don't think I can only get cancelled by the culture that I'm from. And I try and show them the utmost respect because I love them and I thank them for what they've done for me. But if commercial culture said you're not allowed back here, do you know what I'm saying? It's bad. Don't get it twisted. It's not good, but
what's next?
God knows, man. As long as I'm alive, I'm happy with that. But it depends. If the market for what me and Alhan are doing gets oversaturated, then I'll just leave and think of something else. I don't want to be amongst loads of people.
100%.
Yeah.
What is one piece of advice, just to wrap this, that you would give to a young creator, creative, who wants to do their thing in this space? What's one piece of advice you think?
If an adult judges you for being a child, that's the adult's problem. Mistakes are not a problem. Not acknowledging your mistake is the problem. Make bloody mistakes, people. Jesus Christ. Like, divorce is 43%, you know, in this country. So there's adults making a bang of mistakes. Like, through COVID, they realize, I don't even like this guy. I've hated the smell of your feet for like 5 weeks. And now I can tell you, like, everyone makes mistakes.
Are there any creators out there who you think are doing amazing things, who are killing it, who you'd like to kind of put a spotlight on, if you will?
I think Billy the Goat and M1 Podcast are incredible. Absolutely incredible. I watched him yesterday. Host Meridian Doc. So I would say watch out for Billy. PK Humble is an absolute star. Is a complete star. Nothing can stop that boy. PK Humble's a star. Specs Gonzalez and Tigo have got a podcast. What if Zidane signed for Blackburn Rovers? I think it's on BBC 5 now. Call me, like, that's Radio 5, which is nuts in my head. Like, that is crazy. Tigo and Specs are fantastic duo. Incredible. So there's more, man. There's so much people. Mm. Miles, if he starts getting into acting, it'd be fantastic. Lippy is incredible. Please follow that Twitter account of Lippy's. Incredible. Margs is one of the funniest people I know. Like, I'm probably just talking about all the filthy fellas, which I am. But yeah, I believe in these guys so much. You know, I feel like they're part of the group of individuals that essentially may not or shouldn't, quote unquote, shouldn't get the corporate jobs. But we're pushing for those types of individuals to have a space because they live and exist within our community. So we shouldn't ignore it. And they're so super talented with good hearts.
There's so many talented people at the minute and they're coming through. It's so nice to see.
I wouldn't say so many talented, but yeah.
There's a lot.
There's a few talented people. More than there was yesterday.
Yeah, so. But also I think it's nice because you're seeing, like, you know, even on like Instagram and social, how some of the blog pages and everything can help push these people into the forefront where you have a small podcast and actually that can take off now in a way that couldn't do before. So it's nice to see people recognise, you know.
There's a nice infrastructure. Also, J2K's got a new trainer coming out, bro, and he's obviously responsible for making Crep Protect, so definitely take a look out for that as well. It's just what everyone's doing is incredible. Absolutely. Is it Elaine? There's another girl called Elaine that does, like, she'll go to different areas in London and do a report.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's so funny.
You know what? I take it back, man. You're right. There is so much talented people and it's just enjoyable to see. It's enjoyable to see.
Love it. Poet, thank you, bro.
Thank you.
Appreciate you massively. And yeah, till next time.
My guy, God bless you, man.
God bless you too. Love it. Unboxed with Jordan Schwarzenberger is a Listen original in partnership with Arcade Media. The exec producer is Amber Bateman. The senior producer is Lucy Hunt. And the senior digital producer is Alice Tilley. Unboxed is recorded at PRL Studios in West London with the support of Michael Kalizinski.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.